series. And for those of you who had an opportunity to join us for the At the Movie series, it was so awesome to kind of see how God can use things in our culture and things in our lives to turn us back to Him and teach us something about His goodness. And so it was just an awesome series. And so our next sermon series is really meant to be a continuation of that, of storytelling and sharing stories, because that's really what movies are. They're stories. And so we are going to be looking at stories over the course of August and into September, the first week of September, and not just some different stories, but our story. How has God worked in our lives and entered into our story? And this is a huge part of our confirmation program here at Cascade Covenant. And if you have been around and you have been able to come to a confirmation service, they're like the best service of the year. I love them so much because it really is awesome to see how our kids can see God at work in their lives and then tell about it and share about it. Having eyes to see how God can work in our lives in really big ways, but also in the small, everyday ways. And so the book of Acts is kind of where we're going to be landing this month. And the book of Acts is a story of the early church, the days right after Jesus. It's a story of how the followers of Jesus made their way and told about God's faithfulness and goodness in their lives. It's the story of the early church. We're still that church today, called by God to do His work and share His love with our friends, with our family, and with our neighbors. The very last verse in Acts 28:31 says this: "Boldly and without hindrance, Paul preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." And as a church, you guys, that's what we're living out today. We are boldly preaching the kingdom of God, being a part of His ministry, and teaching people about Jesus. And so throughout this series, we're going to be hearing testimonies of God's work in our lives and how God is or has used us to reach our world with the good news of Jesus. This morning, Rod Ehrlich, I'm going to invite him up. Rod Ehrlich is going to be bringing the message this morning to us, and it's called Priority Crash. He's going to be daring us to put God first and see what happens. All right. Thanks, Rod.
Make sure I get this right. Can you guys hear me? All right. How's everybody this morning? Good. I am so excited. You might recognize me. I'm one of the drummers up here. And the reason I'm so excited is because they never give the drummer a microphone. And I got one now, so this is awesome, man. I'm so super excited. So my name is Rod Ehrlich, and I'm part of the leadership team here at Cascade Covenant, and just have a distinct honor of talking to you today and kind of kicking off this service, this series called Our Story. And as I thought about it, I'm like going, wait a second, I've been here for the last few weeks and we've gone over some stories like in the Black Panther, right? And that, didn't that gross like a gazillion dollars at the box office? And then we went through the Greatest Showman, and then Coco, and Coco was like an Academy Award winner, and then Rod. So I'm just a full disclosure here. You know, I'm not sure this is going to be quite as exciting as it's been over the last few weeks here at Cascade Covenant, but hopefully that this will be something that we can just all hear and take to heart. But I do want to be honest, though. When I was asked to share my story, I was hesitant. And I was hesitant because I didn't want to stand in front of you, my church, right, and try to act like I'm this guy that's got everything figured out, because I'm far from getting this thing figured out. So I want to be authentic here and say that, you know, I'm not this perfect person, and I don't do all the things I should do and sometimes I do things I shouldn't do, and I get up every morning, I sing Kumbaya. Yeah, that's not me. I'm not perfect. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She's right over here. So definitely not perfect. So I just want to come to you. So I'm just here today to just share my story. I'm just going to share my story, right? And if it's okay, will you just join me real quick in a prayer to get us started here? Lord, I pray that you just get me out of the way here. And I pray that you help us to hear the words that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. So I was born in 1966 in Dodge City, Kansas. And I got a slide here. Daniel, if you want to pop that up. This is my family. Okay, okay. All right. I'm the front and center guy with the really great looking sweater. And I had two older brothers and then my mom and dad who were just awesome. And I don't even try to go on the haircuts, okay? Just don't even start going there. But I'm going to be honest. We were wild. We were wild. We weren't bad kids, but me and my two older brothers, we were just wild. And I don't know what it was that caused us to be such wild kids, but I remember my mom, she would always go to our student-teacher meetings, you know, and she's coming home, and you're all worried about, okay, what happened? And she would always say the same thing. She said, all my teachers always said, we really like Rod, we just don't want him in our class. So that kind of tells you a little bit about who I was and what we were. We were wild. But I was also extremely lucky because I'm a cradle Christian, right? The five of us, man, we went to church every Sunday. And so I mean, I don't remember a time in my life that I didn't know God. I always believed it. I always believed in Jesus too, right? And I always believed that Jesus was killed and died for me and to save me from my sins. And I bought it. I believed it. But unfortunately, I relied on that grace. And what I did inside is I took God, who I believed, and I took him and I put him over here and I parked him on a shelf. Because see, I knew I was forgiven. I knew I could do whatever I wanted to do and God was going to forgive me. And I knew that God's grace was going to be there with me no matter when, whenever I needed it. So what I did is I created this little world of priorities in my life. And I said, this is what I want to do. Remember, I'm a little wild. I'm kind of ornery. So I'm going to do what I want as a little kid and I can be as raunchy as I want. And I could get on that school bus and I could do this. And I was never bad, but I was just pursuing the wrong priorities. But then every once in a while, it would catch up with me that, yeah, you know what, this is not right. You know, you're not living the right way. And that guilt would kind of kick in. And you know what I did? I went over here, took God, and I prayed. I was like, God, I'm really sorry. I made some mistakes. I know you're going to forgive me, but I just want to pray and say I'm sorry. And I'd open up my Bible, and I'd read a few verses, and then I'd put it back, and I'd take God, and I'd say, okay, I feel better. Went right back to the same thing, pursuing the wrong priorities. Now, I continued this all through school, and then I started partying at about 18 years of age. And you mixed wild and ornery with a partier, and you can imagine the kind of kid I was. I never got in any real trouble, but I was just on. I was just not there. I did the wrong things. But you know what? I knew God was going to be there for me when I needed it. And I knew I was saved. So I went after those priorities. This continued on through college, certainly through college. And then it continued on to when I started my career and just went through this cycle of doing whatever I wanted to do, whenever I wanted to do it. And I knew that I could go back and I could pray. And I knew I could be forgiven. That continued on. About 23 years ago, I met my wife, Julie. Hi, Julie. And Julie was the absolute perfect person for me in so many ways. One way is that she was really perfect for me is where I was wild, she was mature. Where I was wild, where I was ornery, she was, you were not ornery. I don't know if there's an opposite of ornery, but I couldn't think of it. And so she totally settled me down. I think women tend to do that to their husbands a little bit, right? Reel them in a little bit. And that's what she did. And she did that for me. And settled down is what we did. And we proceeded to move forward. Got married, had a couple of amazing kids. Daniel, we want to hit the next one. And this is my family. And this is Jake on the left and Maddie. Hi, Jake. Now, there's one thing I got to tell you. And I'm super, by the grace of God, for some reason, we got the priorities of family. We are family people. Family came, and we've raised our kids, and we did all the right things. We took them to church, and we took them to the youth group and stuff like that, but we were there for our kids, and we love our kids, and they're some of the biggest blessings that we have in our life. And they continue to be people of integrity, and it just amazes me how amazing God has shaped these kids in their life, and so thankful for that. But you take those priorities aside, and as I continued raising kids, family was good, but over here is where I really started to mess up. It was really setting my priorities that I need more. The world was convincing me what I needed in my life, right? It was telling me I needed more money, a better house, a bigger car. I was so focused on the material things of this world. I was focused on popularity and being a party guy and having all this, you know, being that person, you know, and wanting just to find out where I was. And a big issue that I had with what the world was telling me was important was respect of other people. I need that. How do I get it? I get the bigger house, get the bigger car, get those things. I want that respect from people. Now that's how my priorities developed. Family was right. Everything else was what the world was telling me was important. And again, once in a while, I'd go through that problem. I'd get through that guilt, and I'd pull God off the shelf, and I'd really pray, and I'd put God back on that shelf, and I'd go back after the same priorities. And that continued on. And when I was 40, my wife threw me a surprise birthday party in Las Vegas. And my parents flew in from out of state, my brothers flew in, and my friends were there, and we partied, we had a blast. It was so much fun. And we were able to carve out a night with my mom and dad. We went to a really nice dinner, Italian dinner, and had a really nice dinner with them. And little did I know that that was gonna be the last dinner I had with my father. You see, we all went home. 2 months after I turned 40 years of age, my dad passed away. Now, I don't know if any of you have lost a parent, but for me, it sent me into a tailspin. It sent me into an absolute tailspin because generationally, when your father passes away, you recognize generationally you're next, right? You kind of come face to face with your own mortality. That there's an end to this game. And I saw it. This guy was there all my life, and now he's gone. I'm going to be gone soon. And so couple that with the fact that I had just turned 40 years of age, and you start doing the math, and you go, I'm halfway to 80. And I start looking at all these things. Is my bank account enough? And are these really my friends? And are they true friends? And am I all by myself? And is it there? Well, what about the car and the house? And is it time to move? And should I upgrade? And I continued looking. And I'd like to tell you, friends, that this lasted a few weeks, but it didn't. It went on for years that I was struggling internally trying to find this world and trying to measure myself against the world. And I think it's a thirst for me that was unquenchable. I was never gonna feel good enough and whole enough for what I was pursuing in this world. So, what did I do? I struggled for about 5 years because I was trying to fix it, right? If you'd have met me during that time, you wouldn't have thought anything was wrong because I had this face and family was good. We're going to church. We're kind of throwing a few bucks on the offering plate. We're all good, but inside I was not good. So what happened? I think after about 5 years, God looked at me and said, you're not going to figure this out. You're not going to realize what you've done and how you're pursuing this instead of pursuing this. And I think God just said, okay, I'm going to put you in a community group. I'm going to put you and Julie in a community group, and we hooked up in a community group, some friends, people we kind of knew or were getting to know, and some people we didn't know, and this community group was absolutely amazing. If you haven't participated in one, it's this area of, I know we should be out there with everybody, but it's with people who support you and encourage you, and then also kind of hold you accountable, right? But the main thing that this community group did is that we read a book. Daniel? Has anybody read Radical? How many here, show of hands if you've read Radical? Okay. So this is a book that changed my life so much that I think I can classify my life into pre-radical and post-radical. This is a book that truly impacted the way that I see life. And if you haven't read it, there's a few copies back here on this back table. Please take one. They're a gift. If they're all gone, let us know. We'll get you some more. Because this book was a game changer for me. And the biggest way that it changed my life was that it challenged my reliance on grace. It challenged my reliance that I was forgiving. I can do whatever I want in my priorities and live however I want to live because God loves me and He forgives me. It challenged that. It turned that upside down. And what I found that I was doing is I was taking selective parts of the gospel and applying it to my life. Do you ever hear a sermon? You come in here and you sit down and it goes whoop, right between your eyes, and you go, he wrote that sermon, or she wrote that sermon for me. This book was written for me. Because if you can see the title, it says, Taking Your Faith Back from the American Dream. That's what my priorities were. The American, I want it all, I want it now, and I want as much as I can get. And it challenged it. It said, you can't just take what you want out of the gospel. And that's this next slide. This is an excerpt from the book. Daniel, if you'd throw it up there. And it said, you know, we take Jesus' command in Matthew 28 to go make disciples of all nations. And we go, yeah, that's somebody else. And then we say, well, wait, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you a rest. And we go, yeah, that's for me. Right? And then we say, we take Jesus' promise that the Spirit will lead us to the ends of the earth where we have to go share His word. And we go, yeah, that's someone else. Then we take John 10:10 to have life and all of its abundance. And we go, yeah, that's the part of the gospel that I want for me. That's what I was doing. I was taking what I wanted out of the gospel and to do whatever I wanted while I put God over here on a shelf. So what it also taught me was that God's saying you're forgiven and we are all forgiven and God's grace is with you no matter where you go. But He is also telling me that you need to be my hands and feet, right? You need to be my hands and feet to go out there and to share love and to share me with others. And I'm like going, well, I thought that was just for missionaries in Africa. And it's like, no. It's for you here, Rod. You need to be God's hands and feet. Right here, right now. Now, the second part of this book, there's just so many things in this book that just blew me out of the water. But the second thing that this book really got me to examine is our giving. And our giving. And I think when you talk about giving, if I talk about giving, there's your time and your money, right? Those are the two things that we can really give. And this is an area that I had a massive blind spot in my life. If I talk about time, it's like, okay, I had this much time. And this much time is how much I had because I was commuting back and forth to Renton and a full-time job. I had a couple little kids. And man, my time was precious to me. I held on to it like a miser. And what I did is I squeezed out a little hour over here, right? And that was to come to church. But you guys know the term LIFO? Last in, first out. It's an accounting term. That was me for church. I was the last one in. I was first one out. Why? Because I only had that much time. And over here is the time that I had for all of this other stuff. And Platt in this book said, that's not right. If you want to be God's hand and feet, you need to give Him the time and adjust that. For me, and our giving was pretty sad because the giving that we did was at the end of the month and waiting to see how much was in the checkbook or what we had expenses that week, and okay, I'll write a check, and out the door, and I would go, and I'd write, and what I did is sometimes I'd forget the checkbook, and oh, I'll make it up next week, and I never did, and it was kind of this pittance of the money that I was spending. I was given this much to God. And maybe if I was there, if I didn't forget the checkbook, that's what I would do. It was an afterthought. It was tipping God. And Platt blew that up for me. It's like, no, no, no. Giving is relative, right? I want to be sensitive that we all come from different places. We all have different amount of time. We have different amount of money. And you recall the story in Mark where there was an old widow and she put 2 pennies in the offering. And Jesus said she gave more than anyone. So this amount we give is relative. But for me, it was a tip. It was an afterthought. And Platt challenged that for us. And he said, no, no, no. This has to be sacrificial. This has to be something that you feel. This has to be something that you're doing for me. But here was the big eureka for me in giving, and us in giving, is that this became not an obligation. And that's what it was for all of those years for me. This became an opportunity for me to show God where he was in our life, right? It's an opportunity for me to show, hey God, I trust you. And I want you to know how important you are to me. And so this amount, when at the end of the year, when you look and see what you've given, you go, yeah, that was an impact to me. And that's not the way that I was doing it. There was another opportunity that I had. We were about 2/3 of the way through the Radical book, and man, I'm seeing this super clearly by the grace of God now, but you know when you're in the middle of a struggle that I was doing for those 5 years after I turned 40, you're just lost, right? You can't see clearly. You're so stuck in the emotions. And so right now, it became a lot more clear to me that what I needed to do is look at these things like this Radical book. And as it was churning me and things were churning and we were 2/3 of the way, I knew God was saying, I want you to be my hands and feet. Well, I get this phone call from the area director at Young Life. Hey, do you want to be a Young Life leader for your kids' age group? And yeah, you can go to camp for a week with a bunch of kids. I'm thinking my time, right, that I'm guarding. I'm like, no, I don't want to be a Young Life leader. Well, what else do I do? Well, you meet with them once a week, right? And you're encouraging them in their walk and how they walk. And I'm like, no. And over here, I'm hearing hands and feet, right, from Radical, hands and feet of God. How long do I commit? Well, they're sophomores now, so till they're 3 years? Hands and feet, right? I knew clearly that that was God working in my life, saying, I want you here, I want you here right now, and this is what I want you to do. Yes, I will do it. Hands down, one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. Hands down, one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. So what has all this done? Where has it taken me? It's taken me places that I had no idea that I was going to do. Places I would never thought I was going to go. I've been blessed with amazing friendships. I've been blessed with amazing opportunities. We've been blessed, you know, in our finances. We've been blessed in our time. All of these things God has just blessed us with. And I truly believe it's because I quit focusing on the wrong priorities. I took God off the shelf and I said, God, it's you. I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do as your hands and feet. Now, again, I haven't figured this whole thing out, right? I'm still trying to figure out where I'm going to be God's hands and feet and where I can make the most of the gifts that he has given me. I'm still trying. But I can't tell you the joy that I've had over the last 5-6 years. The Young Life camps, to me, are one of the closest we can get to heaven on earth. She told me it was going to be the best time in your life, and I'm like going, oh, come on. I've gone to Cancun with work trips, and we've gone to Hawaii, and I, come on. Best time of my life. Because why? I'm surrounded by nice people, and we're eating good food, and we're singing, and we're playing stupid, ridiculous, crazy games, and I'm on ropes courses with my kids, and we're just, some are almost crying, and we're just having an absolute blast, and we're learning about God. Couldn't get any better than that. Yeah, I'll do it. I'm so glad I did. I can't tell you the joy that I got out of meeting with these kids individually and sitting on park benches in the middle of Oregon or up in the middle of BC on an inlet. And we're talking, and they're talking about their problems, and they're talking about their, and some of them are crying because they're so stressed out and trying to help. Say, don't listen to this world thing. Don't put God on the shelf. Let him be up here for you. That was more fulfilling to me than any new car I could have ever purchased. We help a house in Haiti, a little orphanage, and we've helped them out a little bit financially. And we were able to help them with some clothes, and they took some pictures and they showed these kids wearing these clothes. And that to me was so much more rewarding than any statement I've ever looked at for my investments. By far. I'm standing here in front of you today. I wouldn't have been here 7 years ago. So I look at this and I say, if I can quit being selective about the gospel, if I can keep striving to be the person that God wants me to be, and if I can keep looking to see where can I be God's hands and feet, I have no idea. I can't believe where God's taken me the last 7 years, and I have no idea where he's going to take me. But I am super excited. As long as I continue to say, God, I want to be your hands and feet. That's my story. Would you mind standing with me and saying a prayer? God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for these beautiful people here in our church. Thank you for our story, and thank you for my story. God, I just pray that you can help that we set our priorities not against what the world tells us is important, but against what you say is important, Lord. I pray that you can help us to be the hands and feet in this valley, Lord, in this world. And as we continue on, help us to be your hands and feet, because that's how we know, Lord, that we're going to be closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you so much. All right. Go in the grace of and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ this week, knowing that he loves you, that you live in his grace, and that he wants his priorities for you. Have a great week.